You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, March 13th, 10 a.m., Fisher Butte, Fern Ridge Wildlife Area. The frigid storms that have recently battered western Oregon, holding our spring in abeyance, have given way to a drier, more temperate weather pattern. This morning's intermittent sunshine helps to awaken dormant plants and stimulates activity from the many animals living in this fertile wetland refuge. The water table is high. Fields on either side of the path mimic dry land. A dense curtain of straw shoots, remnants of last year's growth, shudders against the gentle breeze. A kingfisher exposes the marshy reality as it drops from the branch of an ash, splashing into what looks like a dry open field, and returns to its perch with a small fish. I carry binoculars as standard equipment whenever I venture into the outdoors. When others encounter me on the trail, they often ask if I've seen any good birds, assuming that I am a bird watcher. I generally try to accommodate them with brief highlights of birds I've seen during my walk, as is the common courtesy among birders. In truth, birds are most often not the primary focus of my attention. There are times I've walked for hours surrounded by natural abundance without encountering or noticing a single wild bird. Fern Ridge Wildlife Area has gained a well-deserved reputation as one of the best birding areas in Oregon. This morning, countless numbers of waterfowl swim, feed, hide, and socialize in ponds behind the cover of emergent grass, while scores of raptors watch from lofty perches and cruise around the wetlands in search of prey. The first returning tree swallows are coursing through the air, scooping up flying insects. A cloud of dunlin pulsates and swirls over the lake. Several hundred of these tiny shorebirds briefly flash brilliant white against a blue sky as they turn simultaneously, like a disciplined school of fish that has escaped into the air. I can hear and feel the collective flutter of their wing beats as they pass low overhead. The early interest in observing birds for their aesthetic value can be traced to the late 1700s in the works of Gilbert White, Thomas Bewick, George Montague, and John Clare. Although the study of birds and natural history became fashionable in Britain during the Victorian era, it was mainly collection-oriented, with eggs and skins being the artifacts of interest. Wealthy collectors made use of their contacts in the colonies to obtain specimens from around the world. In the late 1800s, the call for bird protection began, leading to the rising popularity of observations of living birds. In 1934, Roger Torrey Peterson published a field guide that made bird identification accessible to anyone. Binoculars became more easily available after World War II. The practice of traveling long distances to see rare bird species was aided by the rising popularity of cars. According to a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service study, bird watchers contributed $36 billion to the U.S. economy in 2006, while one-fifth of all Americans spend time and money watching birds. Our fascination with birds is complex. These handsome, intelligent vertebrates are like us in many ways. They feed themselves, socialize, raise, and defend their families, but remain alien. Because of their ability to fly, they can afford to ignore our lumbering proximity. They are often visible, but seem to live in a non-intrusive parallel universe. Our common ancestors parted ways 300 million years ago. Our personal agendas and viewpoints reflect the profound immensity of this separation. In the distance, a white-tailed kite flutters in place, watching below for the movements of an impulsive rodent. Harriers or marsh hawks patrol the swamp a few feet above the ground. A young bald eagle swoops down in front of me, scaring up a flock of mallards. Amidst the chaos, the eagle drops to the ground on top of a harrier, forcing her to abandon a recent kill. In an instant, the eagle flies off with heavy wing beats. The carcass of a small bird hangs limply from its powerful talons as it heads toward a distant perch to enjoy its purloined meal. The Eugene Natural History Society is presenting a lecture entitled Native Turtles of Oregon, How These Ancient Species Are Faring in Modern Times. Wildlife biologist Susan Bielke of the Northwest Ecological Research Institute will speak on Friday, March 19th at 7:30 p.m. in Room 100 of Willamette Hall at the U of O campus. These monthly lectures are free of charge and the public is invited to attend. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y, at msn.com.